We've gotten several of the questions that were for the schools, I think, answered in your comments. Related to that, will schools built before 1999 be tested if they are upgraded or remodeled?
Well, there's a requirement, as we just do, as I just stated about the testing that we did at Carlsbad High School. If you're using state bond money, and we're trying to, and you're increasing the footprint significantly of the campus, then we're required to test, and we do that testing, and we work with DTSC to do that. So we follow their standards, which are from the EPA, and they come down to them. So, yes, they would be.
Point of clarification with respect to Carlsbad High School. Was it tested beyond the football field?
Yes.
Construction is still being done.
Yes.
Valley Middle School, what renovations or cleanups have taken place at Valley since the early 90s? As a former Valley teacher, I'm concerned. In 93, we had environmental exposure of eight adults teaching. Five of us developed thyroid disorders within 12 to 18 months. I suspect a sick building. Have the ventilation systems, including ductwork, been replaced? We have no way of knowing how many students were affected.
Let me have that, and I'll put the answer to that question on our website. I'd have to go back and look at all of the work that was done at Valley. We've done extensive work last summer. We're completing the other half of it this summer. And unfortunately, I don't remember all of the work that we're doing, but I do have the plans and can refer to that. I'll put it on our website as an answer.
Question. If a law was passed in 1999 that all school sites be tested before construction and Kelly therefore wasn't tested in 1979, why wouldn't it be required by law now to check and test the site now and any other sites for that matter to confirm safety of the sites? Linked to that was the question of which are the other nine schools and would they be tested? I think you've answered some of that with respect to that's a decision that would have to be made by the school board.
Well,
but
the question about
schools may or may not
be able
to.
Both Calaveras have been tested. Carlsbad High School has been tested. Poinsettia has been tested. Pac Rim has been tested. Carlsbad Village Academy has been tested. All of the others were built prior to 1999 and were not tested. That's the five that's been tested and the nine that haven't. The real answer about why the law just said schools after 1999 need to be tested is money. The legislature would not pass a law that tells you that you have to go back and do testing, because that would be a state mandate, and they won't pay the districts to do that work. So that's about money, and that's about politics at the state level, not at the local level.
Question, and I'm not sure if you're the one to answer. If there were a decision to test, either at Kelly or on any of the other sites, how long would it take for the state to do the test?
Well, we'd work with you. We'd probably do level one testing first to determine if, in fact, level two testing needed to be done. So you'd do a little bit, and then you'd do more. It depends how much testing would be done. The testing itself is not long. It's the cleanup that's long. We have to develop a sampling plan. It's not weeks. It's more like months. It's not years. It's months.
There's a group here. I know that the woman in the blue blouse was standing there first. You're giving your...
I defer to Dr. Zeri.
Okay.
Thank you. My questions are pretty brief. I appreciate Dr. Lyman's comments and your visit with us today. My name is Phil Zering. I'm a pediatrician, mostly retired now, but called back to service by friends of mine. And I just have some basic questions for you. And I don't know what your residency or your certification in medicine is, but I'm a pediatrician. I don't know if you are, Dr. Lyman. Are you a pediatrician? No. Okay. I just want to remind you that Kelly is an elementary school. That means there are young children there. And for a number of years, there have been school gardens at Kelly. And the children have been digging in the soil, in the native soil, not in planter boxes, but in the native soil, growing vegetables and eating the some of the soil, as well as the vegetables that are grown in the soil. And so there may very well have been a more intensive and prolonged exposure to some of these young children to whatever it is that could be in that soil than it might have been for older children or kids in the high school. We do know that toxic substances, including arsenic, have been detected in a couple of school sites in those high schools, and there's probably a reasonable possibility that similar conditions exist at Kelly for all the reasons we've heard about today. I guess I'm afraid I have to leave the meeting today still unclear about some of the statistics that you recited today. If we know about 18 children who've been diagnosed with cancer, who have been graduates of the Kelly School over the last 10 years, and we know that probably fewer than 1,000 children have graduated from the Kelly School during that period of time, I would certainly appreciate it if somebody did the math for me and took a look at what is the probability of finding 18 children out of 1,000 graduates of an elementary school. Has anyone actually experienced anything like this in other parts of California or even in New York or other parts of the country? That kind of incidence of an aggregate number of pediatric cancers, not lymphomas or leukemias and so forth, but if the incidence of pediatric cancers, and now I'm even having to exclude Wilms tumor, neuroblastoma, retinoblastoma, those are tumors of very, very young kids, but only tumors of children who are beyond preschool age. If the incidence of aggregate cancer of all pediatric cancers is 1 or 2 per every 10,000, and we have 18 cancers diagnosed in fewer than 1,000 graduates, doesn't that seem excessive to any of you?
We will be happy to work with these numbers with County Health Officer and clarify them with the data that we have in hand and that you can provide.
What's the answer to that question?
The answer is that we will go back to those data, we will look at them, and we will try to clarify them, yes.
And what? Dr. Lyman, before you sit down, what resources are available for medical monitoring of children to help with early detection of cancer? Is that, I'm not sure if that's you alone. Dr. Wooten and others may share in that question, but you're at the mic, so I'll give you first shot.
Well, there are two answers. The first is the cancer registry itself, which has in place a statutory mandate that all cancers be reported. So when cancer occurs, it is reported to the registry, so that is there. The other perspective on this is that in many cancer situations, cancer takes a while to develop. So it's not something that just happens like the flu. There are usually things that happen before you get cancer. There are other things that happen. So children get asthma from their parents who smoke, and later on from secondhand smoke can get cancer. There are things like that. So there are antecedent illnesses that we look out for that indicate problems that should be addressed before you get to the more serious problems. And those, there is a reporting system in place, which is not wonderful, but it does work, and it's done at the local level, so that this kind of intelligence is known first to the health officer, and then I find out about it. Do you want to talk about reporting stuff and how you report diseases?
I have a subsequent question, just so I'm not sure who should take this. If Kelly was built in 79. Arsenic diminishes in 30 years. Can we rule out arsenic as a potential cause of cancer at Kelly as of 1969? I think the dates on the Kelly School's building are a little off here, so I'm going to set that card to the side. Are there other soil toxins that could cause cancer, and are they included in the tests?
Can I just interject here and talk about reporting of data, whether it's infectious disease data or morbidity, or which is basically certain illnesses or mortality death data. For infectious disease data, there are over 80 reportable communicable diseases that are reported to our county health department, to our community epidemiology branch within public health services. When we talk about morbidity and mortality, there is really a tremendous lag in getting that information. It's reported through to the state. But what we've done locally here in San Diego, we have a contract with the Imperial and San Diego County's Hospital Association to, and they have created MOAs with all of the local hospitals to get ED data and hospital discharge data. So that is the information that we can get now, probably within 6 months, to look at. But these, it's limited because it only gives you the information about cases that are going to the ED, the emergency room department, or people that are discharged from the hospital. We talked about this at the last forum. Until we get a health information exchange system where hospitals and doctors and community clinics communicate directly with our public health department, we will not be able to really push a button and get real-time information about the cases that are seen in these particular clinical settings. So we are not at that stage yet. So in terms of getting information about the prevalence of cancer cases, we really have to rely on the information as it's reported to the California Cancer Registry. And as you've already heard, that process now is taking about 16 to 18 months.
I'm going to take the folks.
Yes, hi. I'm a proud resident of 178.1. And census tract. I'm also a family nurse practitioner and a public health nurse. And several nights a week when the power plant blows its stack and those people that live around Agua Hedionda Lagoon can hear it, it's a loud roar. The following day, depending on which way the wind is blowing, prevailing wind is northwest, north-northwest, we often get ash. I am at this question is for the air quality people. I'm particularly interested in the power plant and the known carbon combustion material that comes out of the stack, why they blow it at night so we can't see it. And I have been driving down the Coast Highway at night when I did see it. It was quite dramatic. If any of you have live in Carlsbad, you'll know what I'm talking about. So I would like to know about the most recent study of the particulates for particular carcinogenic toxins, carbon-based, and when was that power plant last checked for the air quality? That was, Kelly School is directly downwind also from that.
And as Mr. Hussein comes up to answer that question, there are two other related to the power plant. What types of carcinogens come out of the power plant stack and how often do they violate safe levels? And how far out do the emissions extend? I'll remind you if you can't remember all three questions at once.
The power plant uses a very clean fuel, natural gas, and San Diego County Air Pollution Control District has rules and regulations in place that they have to meet, and we also have way of testing the facility off and on just to make sure that they're in compliance. We have reason to believe, based on the data that we have, that the power plant does not produce significant emission that can affect human health around this area. You have noticed that it has a very high or tall stack, so anything that could possibly come out of the stack does not impact the area in Carlsbad. It probably, because of the wind, the way predominant wind is during the morning and afternoon hours, the wind is from the west, and the pollution that comes out of the power plant stack gets blown towards the eastern part of the county, and it also gets dissipated. And at nighttime, we do have easterly wind, or what we call drainage wind, that comes from the east, And if the power plant is producing or emitting anything from the stack, it is blown towards the ocean. So we have reason to believe that the power plant is not producing or is not emitting any emission that's not meeting the existing federal, state, or local standards.
When was the last testing?
I do not know exactly the date, but the permit conditions that we have on them, it is periodic. If you want to know exactly when we tested the power plant, we can go back and look at the date and let you know, so you can contact me. I'll be more than happy to tell you when we did the stack test. But they also have some sort of what we call continuous emission monitoring process, or CEM, and our compliance inspectors, they go and visit the sites and look at the record just to make sure that they are in compliance. And as far as we're concerned, the power plant is in compliance and it's not violating any applicable rules and regulations.
Question here?
Yes, thank you. My name is Christy Guerin. I'm from Congressman Brian Bilbray's office. You also have a representative here from Senator Boxer's office. And you have a representative here from Assemblyman Garrick's office and Supervisor Horn's office, and you have council members and the mayor here, as it was said earlier. I think that all of us heard the science, and with all due respect to all of the professionals up there and giving your time tonight, I think that's very important. And the fact that this isn't a cancer cluster, to be honest with you, I don't think is a big surprise to most of the people that are here in this room or in this community. But you've come back and said there isn't, and now you're saying there's a school-specific study that could and should have or maybe should be done, which is very sad and I think frustrating to the people here, because it should have been done to start with. These people came to you and said that there's a school issue that's there. With that said, again, with all due respect to you, to Superintendent Roach, when are you going to agendize this on the school board so that we know where all five school board members are and if they're going to say yay or nay to testing the soil at Kelly School? Because we need to know. I think we need to understand that right now the perception is out there. All the science can say whatever it wants, but the perception is out there. And I think the mother of five that got up to the microphone stated that very clearly. The congressman has written a letter to the Center for Disease Control. He's written a letter to the Environmental Protection Agency. We are committed to work with every agency from the school board on up to help you get through this. I know you've talked about other sites. You're jumping ahead to clean up. I think all of us would really love for the testing to come back clean, and let's start there. But let's start at Kelly School, where all this evidence is there, with these families that are upset, with the property values being threatened now. It's serious if you have real estate agents talking about this issue. It is a perception. It's real. It's out there. I would like to know when you're going to agendize the vote to test the soil at Kelly School.
While Dr. Roach is coming to the mic, I'd just like to make one point of clarification. We've talked about the occupational study at Kelly Elementary, and before that can be done, the first thing is to do what has been done and presented to you tonight. And I've already talked with Dr. Roach about collecting the necessary information to conduct this occupational study, and that certainly will be a next move or a next step for us to do.
The next school board meeting is the 28th of July.
And Dr. Roach, before you go,
is that your final answer? As long as the board president agrees to put it on the agenda. Mr. Corderone and I met Wednesday? And talked about making sure that, I'm sorry, John, I'm looking out in the audience. I apologize. We met last Wednesday and talked about getting that on the agenda and having the opportunity to have the concerned community members provide input into that item.
Just two other questions, Dr. Roach. There have been both the issue that was just brought up about federal government funding. Also, private citizens have offered to fund tests, Has there been any investigation about using such funds, either federal or private, to do the tests? I'll let you answer. I think the answer is, in part, you have to take to the school board first, but if there's anything.
I think the school board welcomes gifts. The community is very generous, provides over $500,000 a year from the Ed Foundation and others. If, in fact, there are folks who want to help pay for testing, I'm pleased to hear the federal and state government is interested in assisting us. I like the fact that the city was brought in. The city has more money than I do today, and I'd like to work together on any of that.
If Kelly School were found to be contaminated, what would the district do to provide a site to educate the students? And this is also an issue for, would this be an issue for teachers' jobs?
Just like Christy Guerin just mentioned, sure would be nice to have results that said the area was clean. If, in fact, the district had done soil sampling and worked with DTSC, and it was determined that we had to close the school for a period of time, then I'd have to find space elsewhere in the district as to where the students would attend, and then where the teachers would follow the students, and we'd work that out. I think that we're a little ahead of ourselves
there. I'm just trying to be all-inclusive in terms of getting just about every possible question I can. This gentleman, I know you're back up at the mic, but you've been standing for a long time. Let me take your question, and I've got a few more written questions.
It would be for the APCD, that I believe he's a doctor. At the APCD, just sitting here thinking about it, the fact that the APCD is involved, one, do you do testing? And two, what about the possibility of you aiding in the testing of the schools in Carlsbad?